Welcome back to Words from the Woods, a Trails Rock podcast. Happy New Year. We hope you had a great holiday season. We ended the year by making $5,500 of extra donations to some local trail organizations, all thanks to your race registration dollars. In 2023, we donated a total of $12,500, so thank you all. We thought it would be fun to talk a little bit about the finances of trail running, from the races making bank to our little last runner standing, pulling in literally hundreds of dollars. Give a listen as we have some fun, and then after our fun, we give a pretty detailed breakdown into Trails Rock finances. Here we go! Okay, now we're back. We just spent the last 4 or 5 minutes talking to each other about today's topic, and we were not recording, and I'm glad I looked down when I did, and I cussed, so maybe I'll remove that. We don't even have to do any editing here or do any content warning, but wow. We're back.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, we're going to do that again, right? Happy New Year again.
Yes.
We thought, you know, that we would talk a little bit about a controversial topic, right?
Yes. So we ended last year, 2023, having a conversation about hot topics. And so tonight we thought we would pick up where we left off with hot topics, or maybe more like taboo subjects, because we wanted to talk a little bit tonight about finances, money.
The money of trail running, how you get that coin. So we wanted to talk, I have a few topics. We have a few things that we're going to share on some other events. And then we're going to open up the books for Trails Rock and Many on the Jenny, and share almost line by line what we do, how we do it, and why we do it.
Kind of where your money goes, because I know, at least for me especially, I think, you know, when we first started running, before Trails Rock existed, before we were putting on races, I know every time we looked at a race to sign up for it, I was like, oh my God, that is so much money. Or we would do the math, like dollars per mile, how much money are you spending, and is it worth the, you know, the amount that you're spending? Do you, are you getting enough bang for your buck? And now having the inside view of things, I guess, you know, you kind of have like a more appreciative sense of where the money goes to.
Dollars per mile. So we had at one point thought the slower that you go, the more you get for your money, because you get to spend more time on the course. I also used to sit down and be like, okay, if they had 30 runners at $65, it comes out to this much money, they're getting rich.
Yeah.
And so that became the next question, right? Was like, are people getting rich off putting on races, and should they be able to get rich off putting on races?
Yeah, like we'll get emails all the time from people who are saying that they want to do a fundraiser, and so they're going to put on a race, and they want to pick our brain, or they want our assistance in creating a new fundraiser race. And I think our response...
I typically say, I think that you should do something else.
Yeah, that is not a way... That is not an efficient way to raise a decent amount of money
in an area that really is inundated with races.
Which is the topic we were going to talk about.
Yeah. Calendar is just really full. So I guess in the world of, can you get rich on trail races? Maybe it depends on where you are or what you're going to do with your event. But as we sort of break it down, we'll make it a little bit more obvious. But I used to be in the camp of like, no, you shouldn't. And when we founded Trails Rock,
you shouldn't be able to get rich, shouldn't be making bank.
You really almost shouldn't take anything is how I used to believe. Mm-hmm. And I used to get like really like mad at people that were, and I didn't really have a good reason for it other than it was not what we were doing.
It was young idealism.
Well, yeah, it wasn't what we wanted, right? And then I think over time, learning what goes into the events and also realizing that we put on professional events and we spend the time and the energy. And other people are doing that too. And just because we decided that our organization would be a not-for-profit without salary for anyone doesn't mean that everybody should have to do it that way. And if getting some money is what has them putting events on, I say, okay.
Putting quality events on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think another way, I guess, to say that, or another way to think of that is like, that saying that you shouldn't be able to make money off of it is kind of coming from almost a privileged place, right?
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like, Trails Rock is a passion project for us.
Right, we have jobs.
Right, and so we have jobs that have enough time off to allow us mm-hmm. to organize events, and to be able to say that we do not, you know, we're not going to take money.
Right.
And so I think realizing that also has kind of changed my perception, I guess. I still don't think that you should be getting rich. I don't think you should be taking advantage of people. And I think the article that you sent.
So you're not all about the price gouging.
Right.
A more popular event charging way more just because they can.
Right. You had.
And I guess where's the line on that?
Yeah, that article from Human Potential Running that you had sent mm-hmm. Was so interesting. Like, as I was reading it, I was just nodding along the whole time because I was like, yeah, that is exactly how I feel about things. Like,
it's like from the RD. I think it's called Cost of Ultra was the article. We'll link it in the show notes. But they really break down a lot. It's a pretty in-depth breakdown. Like, if you have this many runners at this many miles, you're spending this much on an event. And this person, John LaCroix, I think is his name, he actually has been tracking events going back a while. And he
in
has
Colorado.
Them in, yeah, it just in just the 100 milers, 100Ks, and 50Ks, I think.
And he had trail marathon.
And trail marathon.
Quite
yep.
the breakdown, yeah.
And it's just, and he breaks them into tier one, tier two, tier three. So, like,
that's a whole other thing to talk about.
Yeah,
like,
so
is
tier one
fair
being
to,
the most affordable, tier right. three being the most expensive, what the average race day will cost you to run one of those races. Actually, all the way down to trail half marathons he's got on here.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting. I love looking at this as opposed to like where we were. So like zero SPF, we would put on for like $35 as a half marathon.
Yeah.
And you could buy your shirt separately. So if you wanted a shirt, you could get it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, we charge like $10 because we would like literally not make a penny on the shirts.
Right.
So for what, $45, you would get a trail half marathon. And I'm looking at the average out in Colorado for all of the trail half marathons is $105.31.
For a trail half.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, man, it's just so interesting. But again, it comes from kind of a place of privilege, I guess, because a lot of those races are being put on by companies, and they're companies that are designed to make someone a profit.
Right.
Like, your job is race directing. That is your whole job. You don't have a... It's not a side hustle even, like, that's it. And we've talked a number of times because mm-hmm. we both love event management. Like, it's really something that we are passionate about, and it's really fun for us. And so we've toyed with, like, is there a way to make this our job?
Yeah. Like, especially, like, I work for a nonprofit. So Trails Rock is a 501c3, but my professional gig is working in the nonprofit world too. So I'm not out there getting rich there either. So I was like, well, hey, could we have done this? You know, should we? Can we? Will we?
Mm-hmm.
And just go off on our own and put on trail races. And we thought about it for a little bit. And actually, Many on the Jenny was just us
mm-hmm.
for the first few years until last year when we decided we were going
to
put it back
Rock.
Under the Trails Rock umbrella. And we'll talk about that as we get forward here. But the idea was, you know, with just we didn't have children at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't live near any of our family. And what if something happened to us? Where does the race go? And we wanted the race to have a home. And so we put it back under the Trails Rock umbrella. And we'll talk about what that looks like. But one of the things in that Human Potential article that really catches my eye is a lot of race directors have been gouging mm-hmm. recently and claiming inflation.
Yes, I wanted to talk about this. Inflation and COVID.
We
yeah.
do the shopping for our races, right? We buy all of the stuff. We shop around sometimes online, sometimes locally. And we have not been hit by inflated numbers the way that some of these race directors who might be charging $20 for an event
per person more.
More when it really probably costs $2 to $5, $2 to $4 more for the event.
And I thought that was like, it was such a good point that the author made when he talked about how, yeah, costs of things have gone up. Like, I don't think anybody can deny that.
Right.
Obviously, food costs, you know, if we're just looking at aid stations and Finish Line food, like,
right.
The cost of that has gone up, but it hasn't gone up $20 a person.
Right, yeah, like, when we work with Dogtown to cater many on the Jenny, and this year he was like, hey, I gotta apologize. He's like, but it's gonna cost a little bit more this year. But it was like, it was negligible when you break it out over 150 runners. It was, I don't even think it was $2 a runner more.
Yeah.
So they're not gouging us, but what's happening is some race.
We could say,
oh man, that
yeah,
really.
Yeah, Dogtown's charging us more, so
yeah,
the race is going to have to.
And
go
runners
up.
That don't know what we're about to talk about tonight might say, man, that makes sense, because everybody, like you said, everybody's feeling the squeeze, right? Like, the groceries
yeah.
cost more. Everything costs more is what you'll hear.
And I think that there's kind of two ways to look at this. One way is, you know, the cost of things haven't gone up that much, so you don't need to charge more and you don't need to price gouge. The other way to look at it, though, is that if this is your gig as a race director,
mm-hmm.
you do need to make more money because things cost more for you personally also.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. So if you break even, then
right.
you're technically behind because
right.
you're using that to pay your own bills.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, I guess I just want to temper the whole conversation with, you know, we talked about this, I feel like, at the end of the year, too, where it just, I think, is good to know where your money is going, who it's going to, why it's going to those things, so that you can be an informed consumer.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. The other thing that I had, I wanted to talk a little bit about. So we basically agree that people should be able to make money on this stuff. And I think we both agree that we don't think people should be banking on it, like, but I think maybe that's our outlook on life in general. Like, we
yeah.
get annoyed
yeah.
when people just go nuts and like take all the money.
Yeah, like if you're taking advantage, if you're hoarding wealth or resources,
right. yeah.
like that's not cool. But I struggle a lot personally with even where we are, and I would not say that we are by any means like rich, but we also have a lot, and
mm-hmm.
we have way more than we need, you know? And
yeah, we really do.
Live on water, and we are...
We'll drive 30, 40 minutes on a Tuesday to go run somewhere with friends.
Right. So, again, this is kind of that gray area? I don't know if that's the right words for it, but it's all a little subjective, I guess, right?
Yeah, and I think that comes... The same thing then comes with prize money. So
yeah.
when you're looking at the sport, if you
right.
look at some of the most well-known, I guess you might call legacy events, they don't give prize money. Like Western States really doesn't give much. The Dipsy, which
mm-hmm.
is like the oldest trail race, doesn't give, I don't think, anything really.
Yeah.
And like locally, there's really nobody giving a lot of money away.
Some places you will get like whatever the leftover food is.
That's right. So... but when it comes to
that's not
prize
us.
Money, I'm curious of where we fall on. Should we be paying athletes who run our races prize money that is more than the
mm-hmm.
race director is making to put on the race?
Right.
Should anybody involved in the race at any capacity make more than the race director makes?
So I feel like those are two separate questions, maybe.
Sure.
So let's deal with the should anybody at the race doing something at the race
right.
make more than the RD. So this is something that we've had conversations about,
yep.
Eric and I personally, because, you know, we are paying for porta potties. We are paying for food. We are paying for sometimes timing. We're paying for photography. And if we are not taking any money.
Right. So for 9 years, everybody that was participating in our race as a contractor made more money than we did.
Right. And on the one hand, that feels really good because we're supporting local businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was
local.
Right. Like the porta potty company was like a woman owned
yeah.
company. And it was like, this is sweet. Like we're supporting this small mom and mom shop, you know? And so those kinds of things feel really good. And then also on the other hand, sometimes it sucks because you're like, man, I'm doing all this work. You know, there have been nights where we're sitting doing work and it's late and I'm ready to just chill with my husband and we're still working. And then I think about the fact that other people are getting paid more. And I'm like, man, this is some real BS right now.
Like, this is some ish.
Yeah, this is some ish. But I mean, overall, I would say I don't have those moments very often. But I would be lying if I said that I didn't ever think about that, because I don't know, I guess that's human nature maybe, or,
right.
You know, and I think what really irks me, not so much about the money necessarily, because again, we are very comfortable and we're very fortunate to be comfortable. But I think it bothers me because I think of it in terms of the amount of time and effort and work that goes into something as big as a race. And in our culture, I guess we reward that with money.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if you're not getting money, then it's almost like you didn't put forth the same amount
of
effort.
Well, we can use my mom as a great example. She probably won't ever listen. If she does, though, she will say...
I'm not saying anything.
But if she does ever listen, she will ask us a question like, now, is that a money... Is that a race you get money for or no?
Yeah.
Like, right. Because the mindset for a lot of people is, that's a lot of work.
Right.
Why aren't you getting money?
Right.
Yeah. But what about the runners? So
I was just going to say, so now let's transition to the prize money thing.
My theory on this is I'm not a big fan of it. Now, I can explain why.
Well, hang on. So let's talk about, before we get into that, what kind of prizes do we offer at our races? Because we offer prizes, and it is not just leftover food.
Yeah, so I was going to get there when I talk about why I'm not a huge fan of it. Mm-hmm. My belief wholeheartedly is if every single professional runner in the world disappeared, got the Thanos snap tomorrow, the sport would not change. Mm-hmm. And
because that's not the heart of the sport.
It's not the heart of the sport. And it is not why anybody is running in these races. So your event, when you're putting on an event, it is wholeheartedly supported by your middle and back of the pack runners. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that are registering. They live in your area. Those are the people that are volunteering. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that are showing up on trail work days. Mm-hmm. It is almost never someone that will finish in the top five of a race that you will see volunteering at an aid station or showing up on a trail work day, or it just doesn't happen. Like I've sort of tracked it over the last 10 years. It's very rare. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm not a big fan of like, hey, let me shell out some money for these people. So I had one time I got an email from someone that said, do you comp races for elites? And I just wrote back, yeah, do you know any? And it was like real snarky, but the concept really was like, we're all just supposed to be part of this community.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to comp races for, quote, elites, because what is it really doing?
What is it doing for the event?
So, like, let's take Many on the Jenny. This year, it didn't sell out yet. This is the first year it didn't sell out on the first day. But that race has sold out within minutes.
Right.
Without elites. Like, mm-hmm. They're not out
without
there.
Without a big prize purse.
They're not out there putting it on Instagram. Hey, you know, I ran this race. Yeah. It's amazing. You showed. And then 42 people from all over the country sign up.
Right.
That's not been a thing, right?
Right.
So I don't think that it needs to be a thing.
Would it be a thing if we had a prize purse, though?
It's an interesting question. I don't know.
So, like, if the event starts to struggle to get numbers.
Right.
And we say, what are we going to do? And we say, maybe if we throw some money at the winners, maybe we can attract a bigger crew of people that want to compete. How do you feel about that?
You know, it's really interesting.
I'm playing devil's advocate right now.
So let's take Cayuga Trails 50.
Yes.
They did this.
Mm-hmm.
Ian got a big grant from mm-hmm. Tompkins County and a bunch of other things and put a lot of money in. And he brought in some of the best runners in the world. Mm-hmm. And it was super exciting, right? I covered that event that year for Trail Runner Magazine. Ron was taking pictures. We were running an aid station.
Yep.
We camped the night before mm-hmm. in the, quote, elite camp. So there was all cabins. We all hung out. And then the race went off, and it was just like any other race.
Mm-hmm.
And 99%...
Well, it was faster on the front.
Sure, but 99% of your people...
Yeah.
They didn't know who they were.
Yeah.
You know, I listened to a podcast the other day that it was with elites, and they felt... they were the soul of the sport. It's really interesting. I think everybody thinks they are the thing. They're like, you know, we're the ones out there pushing the limits and seeing where you can go in trail running. And I'm like, yeah, but Timmy from around the corner over here just wants to go and watch the leaves change. Like,
that's
not, you know?
Interesting. I guess this is also like kind of a subjective thing, but like to me, I find the mom or dad who has a full-time job and a family and whatever, and then they also are training and they come in the top quarter of the race or whatever, even if they don't come in the top, even if they finish a race, to me, that's like a way more inspirational story than somebody who, like, that's your job.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know.
So we give away some fun stuff. You get a nice, hefty $100 gift card if you win the race to Rochester Running Company. You get, every year we try to do something creative as a prize. One year it was like a tray.
Eric loves things. So.
I don't like things at all. I'd rather not have it. You know, then they get the normal swag with it, right? So they get their mug. Hey, look at me. I'm holding this thing up for the picture.
Right.
Really cool. First, second, third, I'll get something.
Mm-hmm.
And then each first, second, third, male, female, they get money to Rochester Running Company.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even enough to buy a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we are with it, you know. And then if you look at some of these, so just today, the World Trail Majors and the World Series announced their prize breakdowns, and it is really impressive. So there's some series in here. They're going to offer $227,000 of total prize money.
How many races?
I can't remember how many it was, but so you have to run four.
Okay.
To qualify. So it's just kind of like the Troy series, right?
Okay.
The Trail Runner of the Year series we have.
Yeah.
And you get a congratulations on Instagram for that.
Right.
They are going to split that money, and it's really interesting how they'll break it up. So like the prize money, you know, for first is $10,000. Second is $5,000. Third is $3,000, and down it goes. So once you get down to 7th, 8th, 9th, it's all $1,000 in that level. So if you're in 7th, you're not incentivized to sprint for a 6th because you're going to really make – or 8th to 7th.
Yeah, you won't make
amount.
A lot more. Yeah.
But it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That is a lot of money. It's got to be coming big sponsors,
mm-hmm.
corporate sponsors, mm-hmm. and then from – you know,
right.
where they're going to pull money from registrations. These are big races, though.
Is that a lot of money, though, like – I guess I'm ignorant of this, but like to me, $10,000 for one race.
But for four.
For four, like that's, I mean, yes, that's a lot of money. $10,000 is amazing. And also, that is not enough to live off of. That is not, like, you know, the people that are going to win that, I'm assuming, are going to be the elite runners who, that's their job, right?
Right.
And
so, like, UTMB offers, like, you know, so for one race, they offer that same bracket, right?
Yeah.
But you have to train.
Right. That's
like
what I'm saying.
Jim Walmsley moved to France.
Right.
And lived in France.
Right.
And did, but so his
money. So like you're not doing that.
His money's not coming from the prize.
That's
the prize,
right. Like, you know? So the prize is like kind of the bonus that you get, right?
Yeah.
Like you have to be doing something else in order to be able to afford that. And
right.
I guess, so this is the conversation too, is do we as a trail running community need to say that we're going to up prize money so that people can focus on trail running and see where they can, where can they go? How much can they do?
So, and I'm always going to be in the camp of no.
Yeah, I think I am too, but why?
I look at the history of the sport.
Yep.
And these limits mm-hmm. were pushed
yeah.
constantly.
Without money.
Without it, right?
Without like, races. Like,
I mean,
it
if
was
you
just
look
a group
at the first
people.
100-mile or like Gordon
yeah.
Ansley, like he's like, oh, my horse came up lame.
Right.
And he's like, I bet I could finish this damn thing.
Yeah.
And in his jeans, shorts,
which is wild.
And boots, and off he went, right? And then the next year he came back and ran the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's pushing your limits
right.
to see if you could.
Right.
And then you go to, like, Scott Jurek doing it, you know, 7 years in a row mm-hmm. and setting course records. And he, at that point, you know, he became a sponsored athlete along the way. But
right.
not initially. He wasn't – he was showing up, I mean, bare yeah. bonesing it, you know?
But then I think about it from a standpoint of privilege. And, like, so he obviously – had enough privilege
yep.
to be able to do that. And is there someone who literally cannot do what Scott Jurek did because they have to go to work? They have to,
yeah.
you know, they can't travel. And if
yeah,
we
offered... Yeah, I mean, that's
offered,
where, like, those early guys were, like, dirtbagging it.
Right.
And dirtbagging it still comes with the privilege of being able to.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. So, like, I guess all of this always comes down to privilege. And our sport, even though it's a sport that is a relatively cheap sport, I guess, to get into, still is a sport that...
I think endurance events are expensive, though, in the broad grand scheme of things. Time,
Yeah.
And then race registrations, sneakers. Even if you buy the cheapest shoes and run in cotton shirts and stuff, you're still spending a decent amount of money if you're going to really train.
Right, right.
Back with the guys in like the 70s when we wrote that article, they watched the trees grow.
Yeah, they
watched
the trees grow.
Those guys ran in like cotton shorts and t-shirts and,
you know, I don't know if there was any other option, was there?
Flat sneakers.
Yeah.
Like, racing flats, you know. Right. But they didn't do it for the money, and they innovated the sport.
Right.
And they weren't doing it for money. So I don't believe money is what makes people be able to do amazing things.
Right.
Right.
Like, well, and I think adding money also creates the issue of doping.
Absolutely.
And I mean, that is an issue anyways, I think, in trail running. But I think it will become a much bigger issue.
Yeah, so I think the Sierra Zanale finisher was caught last year. Maybe it was a 2022 race and got banned. And yeah, as soon as you introduce money, you're also going to, with that money, you're going to introduce some crazy characters that are going to try and take advantage of people that are less fortunate. That, let's take an East African runner out of the Rift Valley and some, you know, scarpy agent that is going to say, hey, you know, I know for a fact that this kid is training with these guys.
Right.
He can win that race and make 10 grand.
Right.
I'm going to get 9 of it as his agent. He's going to get $1,000 to take home and feel like he's rich. And I'm not going to tell him anything else.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess
that is introduced to the sport too.
I guess that comes back to the beginning of the conversation when we were like, money, having money involved kind of makes it feel not clean.
So we're going to break down Trails Rock when we come back from our break. But before that, I wanted to look at Western States. And I know it's like, that's like the granddaddy of them all, right? Western States is like the 100-miler. That's, everybody's like, I want to go to Western States.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, I just don't understand the draw to it. But people are driven, right?
Yeah.
So ProPublica website has a nonprofit explorer. And you can just search the name of a nonprofit. You can search Trails Rock is on there. So we did a quick search for some of these races that are listed as nonprofits, just so we could show you the difference from how we operate to how they operate. We're not even in the same, we're not punching in the same weight class here. The revenue in 2022 year end for Western States was $803,549. So we just filed our taxes.
Almost $1 million.
And we were at $50,000 for the year. For all of the things that we do, that's the revenue we brought in, and they brought in $803,549. And if you go, you can click, and I'm going to put all this stuff in our show notes, but you can look at their actual filing, because as 501c3s, our filings are public information. You can go and click on ours. You won't see anything because we bring in less than $50,000 of gross receipts and sales that we file something different than what they have to file. So they have to file the Form 990, and in there you can see you know, race director salary and all that. So you can see that Craig Thornley made $98,000 plus last year to direct Western States. Someone might say in California that's not a lot of money. I'm still saying that's a lot of money. But I won't make that much of my career probably working for a nonprofit. And he's doing it
for one race. But to be fair, that one race is enormous.
Sure. And so there's 1,600 volunteers, they say, over the course. And it's enormous.
Right.
It's established.
Yeah.
And we put on events all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying we could do this. I'm saying that if we had to step into that role, we could do it. And me personally, I'm saying it's not worth $100,000. And people might say I'm out of my mind.
Is this...
But I don't believe it is.
Yeah. I mean,
He should be paid less, because out of $800,000, he certainly deserves what he's getting.
Yeah.
That's a huge organization.
Yeah. Also, I think...
I don't believe he's working 40 hours a week, though, for that.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. To put
for
on
the
that
whole
race.
Year?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Is it supposed to be for an entire year?
Yeah.
It is.
So on your tax filing, you have to put the average number of hours worked per week, and he's at 40.
And he's at 40 hours a week. I wonder if he has other jobs.
Bill Ying's it. 1 hour per week as a co-director.
Does he have other jobs?
Who? Craig Thornley? I'm not sure. I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, is he doing anything else, or is that, like, that's the job?
Yeah,
$98,991
they paid him.
Can we get him on the show?
Yeah. Maybe. After I just said that, I don't think he should make that much.
I didn't say that,
from
sir.
All I've heard about him is that he actually is really great to work with.
Yeah. I'm like, I didn't say that, sir. Come talk to us.
And, you know, that's Western States. Like, when you hear about the mystique, a lot of that is the work that he puts into it.
Yeah. Well, and it goes off without a hitch, right? Like,
it seemingly
at least
does.
Anything, I mean, you don't ever hear any hitches.
Yeah.
So, like, a 100-miler with that many people in that location.
Well,
like,
and it really extends to, right? Your winners are out there blazing through course record time, but you got your back of the packers that are making chasing cutoffs all day.
Right.
They worked their tail off to get into the race.
And
now
then you have
gotta...
people that don't make cutoffs, so what are you doing with those people?
Yeah, there's a whole...
I mean, there's a lot of...
It's a small race, too, though. It's less than 500 runners. I think it's less than 400 runners.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, either way, I guess.
Yeah. The money's not coming from the runners for that race. They've got a lot of revenue
sponsors.
Streams from other assets
because
and other
it's such
things.
A huge race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about how we do not make $98,000 or does our organization does not bring in $800,000. But when we come back from the break, we're literally going to go line by line and take a look at Trails Rock. We'll be right back.
BRB.
Back from that nice patched in music that we had in between segments. So, all right, we rambled for 30 minutes on the front half of that. I think it was entertaining.
I hope so.
We'll see. We'll get some feedback. But now, let's break down Trails Rock, and then we're going to break down Many on the Jenny. So, Trails Rock, total expenses, total income for the last year is an interesting story. So, we started the year with $11,000 in the bank account and ended with total income of 61. So you don't count the 61. It really is 50 on the dot. Like, we literally were right at...
You did it.
We were right where we needed to be to not have to file the 990, which is an itemized breakdown. But if we had to, we would have been able to. But our races have everything broken down here. And then we're going to go into just Many on the Jenny. So Trails Rock in general... total expenses on the year, we brought in 50 and our total expenses were $43,222. Right. So we profited $806.79 from last runner standing. We made $3,020.88 on the Webster Trail Classic. We made $720 from our Mafamo races on
Look
the dock.
Out world.
WTF brought in $4,129. And then Many on the Jenny brought in $12,058.31. And then Many Light, $11,226, something like that. So $43,222. We had some other things in there, but a lot of expenses in there that come out.
Well, and so I think, you know, when we look at profit, one of the things that I think I'm proud about with Trails Rock is that our race entry fees have really not gone up significantly, especially for the smaller races. They really haven't changed very much, if at all, and they're very affordable.
Yeah, we didn't change the price at all on Many on the Jenny this year, any of our races, actually. We kept every one of our races the same price
right.
in 2024 as they charged in 2023, and I think almost all of those were the same in 2022.
Yeah, and so that's something that I'm really proud of, and also, to be fair to people who are doing this as a job, if this is your job and the point then is to make money, you would have to increase.
So you could charge a lot more.
Right.
Right. So the profit before, we don't pay taxes because we are a 501c3, so there's no taxes on race registrations. The profit for Trails Rock this year was $18,519.54.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then we took from that, we made a bunch more donations, end of the year donations, and we ended up donating $12,500 this year, which is like a huge number.
Huge. And I mean, that feels really good. But again, that comes from a place of privilege, I guess.
Sure. Right. But so like, take a look at how we ran things this year.
Yes.
If that was our business, we would have made $18,000 before taxes. And then we would have had taxes, income taxes come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have made what? 10 grand.
Right.
You know?
Right. And I guess that's what we're saying is like, you're really not going to get rich off of something. And if you're trying to do a fundraiser, you know.
But we could add the donations back in because most places aren't doing that, right?
You could increase the cost of the race.
Almost $13,000 of donations and keeping our races really low cost, right?
Right.
We're charging less for a 45-mile trail race than some trail marathons and half marathons are charging.
Right, right.
So, but
so I mean, there are ways to.
Yeah, you could make a living on this, I guess, is the point. And I want people to know where, when they run a Trails Rock race,
this is
where does the money go?
Right, this
right?
is where money
so,
is
like,
going.
Let's look directly at Many on the Jenny, right? Yeah. So we have a lot of expenses. I just labeled out, you know, our overall Trails Rock and the what that race makes.
Yes.
And the $12,000 it brought to the organization.
Right. And
what
so
did it cost us?
When we talk about the cost breakdown for Many on the Jenny, things that we are not including in this list that we're going to talk about tonight would be things like our Trails Rock insurance. So we pay insurance for Trails Rock for the year, and it covers our group runs, it covers our trail work, it covers our races, and that is not included.
Yeah, I didn't do like a breakdown of, oh, this race gets one-fifth of that cost. I didn't do that. Right,
right. So things like that are not included, and I just wanted to make sure people understand.
It's one of the few things, right? So let's run down the list, though, right?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You're,
like the major costs of running a race.
Let's just start with your emergency services. So you've got to have on-site ambulance, on-site EMT, and on-site New York State Parks Police. And that's going to run us, for Many on the Jenny, $2,093. So right off the bat, $2,000 gone to other people.
Right.
And that pays the overtime for the Parks Police, that pays the ambulance, which is a volunteer organization, or that pays the EMT money for their skills in case, God forbid, we ever
needed it. Right? And it's worth every penny. I am really thankful that we have two, because then we, you know, the race gets spread out over the course of a 45-mile race. So it's good that we are able to have two people, but also costs extra money. The next thing is, we already kind of talked about this, that we have prizes that we give out. They are not extravagant prizes by any means, especially, I guess, as you look at other races. but we spend about $500 on prizes.
And it's really important to me. So people say, why isn't your sponsor paying for that? And I say, because our sponsor is a local running store, and one of our goals is to support them. So we buy the gift cards from them so that they get the money, and then they get the money when someone comes in, like,
and buy something.
Yeah, and maybe they spend a little bit more because they're gonna get other things while they're there. Our goal is to support the local running community, and that's a big part of it. So we do something that I think is a tradition that I love. It's really fun for us. If you help us mark the course and you are there helping set up the finish line, start line the night before, we take that crew out to dinner at Brian's USA Diner.
And it's always stressful because we're always rushing to get there before
they close. We barely
make
it every year. And but they always give us the back room, and we sit there, and it's a moment to sit and relax before the chaos starts the next morning.
And refuel. The next thing, Eric is changing things. The next thing that we have on our list is ice. So this is something, especially because of the time of year of our race, that we feel like we need to provide at aid stations, but also, like, how much ice can you really provide, especially on the back half of the course where people are, like, our volunteers
hiking
have to hike that ice and the coolers down to the aid station. And then back out, by the way, when the race is over.
So $90 worth of ice.
Yes, so we spend $90
about $100
on ice. At the Red Apple, because they are open 24/7. I go in every year at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and those people, God bless their hearts, are
filling up 8 coolers, 9 coolers.
I'm like, I need to buy blah, blah, blah amount of ice, and they just look at you like you're crazy. Actually, the last couple of years, I think we've gone in after dinner.
Yes.
Because we have coolers that...
They're good enough.
Keep the ice okay.
Once the sun goes down.
Yeah, overnight. But, you know, those first couple of years of Many on the Jenny going in at 4 o'clock in the morning and asking for $90 worth of ice.
It's really... $3 a bag. Yeah. And you're like, I'll take 30 of those. Yeah.
And they're like, wait, what? And I'm like, no, it's for real.
Yeah. Well, we also pay for photography, sometimes video. And so one of the things that we've learned... I can take great picture here or there, and then I am busy, and also don't always take great picture. Sometimes the picture's not great. we think that it's really valuable for the runners and for the event itself to have great mm-hmm. imagery. And Ron does an amazing job. So we pay $500 for Ron to be out on the course, which, again, he's there 12 hours. And yeah. then he goes home and post-production. It's the same thing we talk about with race directing, right? In... So, like, what's that as an hourly rate?
Right.
Like, it's not much.
Right.
So.
And I guess, again, like, supporting small local businesses.
Yep.
So, if you have a chance, check out Go Factory Media.
Yeah, we'll link them in the show notes here.
So, the next thing on our list are permits. So, this is actually, like, part of the bulk of the pre-race
work.
Stuff, yeah, the work that goes into race directing. But in order to direct a race, you have to do permits. So it's filling out paperwork. Sometimes it's going to talk to the people in charge to explain what you're going to do. And then paying fees. So for Many on the Jenny, our park permits are $675. So we pay $600 for New York State Parks. Mm-hmm. And then we pay $75 for the Army Corps of Engineers because our start and finish line is at the dam.
Federal property.
Yes.
Different permit.
And they're all amazing to work with. Yeah. But that's just... That's
so I left off here. I forgot to put them in. The shelters that we have to rent.
Yeah.
So the Army Corps is included in their permit. Mm-hmm. The state parks, it is not. So we rent the shelters two places mm-hmm. To make sure that we have them. And that's another $129 depending on the year,
yeah.
dollars per shelter, $200 mm-hmm. sometimes for the bigger ones.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Then the fun one, the the absolute necessity for your races. We spent $237.60 on porta potties.
That's 60 cents. We had to put it in.
And $5 on a roll of duct tape and some paper.
I was just gonna say that
because I have found this really neat little thing. If I put signs in the porta potty. And on the doors and outside of the porta potty that says, don't piss on the seat and keep this thing clean and your mother doesn't work here and all these different things. We have not had a seat pee in forever. And sometimes what I've been doing is walking by the porta potties and sort of heckling in a sense. And I'm going to do a check when you come out. And these porta potties have been spotless for 3 years.
Yeah.
Hopefully that keeps up.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's a whole separate conversation probably. But it's like it's really important as a woman.
Don't pee on the seat,
it's
guys.
It's really important. Yeah.
Or ladies.
And if you are like a hoverer, just check and clean it up. Clean up after yourself. Like, this is not rocket science. We're adults
here. We don't get paid to clean them.
We are adults here. Please.
Next. our post-race food. And then also, why don't we throw in the aid station food as well. So we cater at Many on the Jenny.
We didn't used to.
Yeah, well, one year we tried to do it, and Lisa helped us. And
yes.
We've done everything over the years. We had pizza one year. That was a nightmare.
That was a hot mess, too.
But we cater from Dogtown. It is incredible. The food is awesome.
They are fantastic to work with.
And that is exactly. We give them a tip.
Yep.
And this, with everything, tip and everything, it comes to $3,200. And then for the aid stations last year, we spent $588. So,
all on watermelon.
Yeah.
Eric's favorite.
All on watermelon.
Yes.
But so, like, when you break that down, right, you want to say, like, per runner, what are you spending, right? So we have 150 runners, and the aid stations were $588. So, like, $3.92 of your registration went to your aid station. So, like, it's really nothing. It's like, what could you get for $4?
Yeah.
If you went to the running store, not much.
By yourself.
Right? So you're going to get a full aid station functional for $3.92.
Yeah.
And then the same thing, like when you come through the finish line, right? It's like the beer is donated to us. We don't pay for that. The drinks, you know, that's all sort of in here. But the finish line is going to cost a little bit more. That's costing us $20 almost per runner.
Mm-hmm.
But that's everything at the finish line, food.
Right.
So Dogtown.
Right.
Drinks, snacks, everything.
And Dogtown delivers, which is really nice because then we don't have to worry about who's going to pick up.
Yep. Got a whole bunch of miscellaneous stuff in here. What do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so we have a lot of swag. Eric loves swag. For those of you that don't know, he's a big fan of things and swag.
Nope.
So anyways, swag is not a big thing for either of us, but we know that other runners do like it. So we spend $126.36 on stickers every year.
Stickers.
Well, last year we spent, I don't know how much.
Less than $1 a person.
Yes. So everybody gets a sticker. And then we do cups, like mugs, for people to have their drinks out of. Those cost $2,000. And then last year we did sunglasses as well. Those were $301.
Yeah. And we did medals as well. That was part of the swag.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. So. That was part of the swag as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not an insignificant amount of money, but also when you break it down over all of the runners that we have.
Then we've got like a couple more things here. So we have a miscellaneous category that's just random crap. So $208 of random stuff that we've had to buy on the race day for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spent $300 on trying to get gifts for our crew that is really committed to the event. It's literally not enough to say thank you.
We try to say thank you with
unique places for them to go, like a gift card to like Uncommon Goods for somebody that might want to shop there, things like that. We try to cater it to the person, but we spend $300 doing that. So, and then we make our donation. And we do that a couple times, but this initial donation this year for Men and the Jenny was
$3,000. Who are we donating to?
That goes to the Finger Lakes Trail Conference.
And what do they do? Why is it so important?
Maintaining and keeping the trail alive. The Finger Lakes Trail runs almost the entire length of New York State. Mm-hmm. There are multiple
branches
on it, and the FLT branch in Letchworth that we run the second half of the race on is all FLT.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire back half of the race is the Finger Lakes Trail, and it is maintained by and advocated for by the Finger Lakes Trail Conference. So we donate to them, and we just made an extra donation end of the year to Trails Rock, had an extra $1,000, so we threw another $1,000. So since the race has started, we have given $13,500 to the FLT out of race registrations.
Yeah. Which is,
and sometimes now we let people donate additionally.
I was just
so all of that money goes directly. It's part of this number, but all of that goes directly. When you choose to donate on your race registration, mm-hmm. that's awesome because that's a little bit less that maybe comes out of our pocket, but we really don't do it that way. We just give it anyway. So
yeah, and that feels really good. You know, Trails Rock was founded primarily to be a trail advocacy group, I guess.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to be able to give back to an organization that is doing amazing things all over the state. And that is no small task.
Yeah.
You know, the FLT is always changing. We just found out today that there were some access points, I guess, that were revoked. And that happens all the time on the FLT, and they're working to try to get those back and or find workarounds. So it's a big deal.
And our last point is the most controversial point of the whole darn thing.
Let's bring it back to the beginning.
Sheila and I started Many on the Jenny with just the two of us in a separate organization name called Trail Methods, because at the time, the people on the board at Trails Rock were not able to commit to another race. But we were really passionate about this park. We love the park, and we wanted to showcase it. So we started the race on our own. And when we gave it back to Trails Rock, because it's like, hey, this thing needs a home, and we want to do all these awesome things with it as a nonprofit, but we said, hey, we want to keep a little bit of it that's going to come to us for the work that we do.
It's a lot of work, and the lion's share of that work is done by
So
Eric.
Craig Thornley makes 98,000 plus, and what do we make for Many on the Journey?
$2,000.
$1,000 for each of us. And that money
probably
goes right back
money.
To the running community.
And it makes me really uncomfortable when Eric actually was like, I want to break down, you know, everything, all the numbers, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. And then, you know, every time I see that number or whenever we've talked about it, you know, we talked about it with the board when we were talking about whether to transition this back to Trails Rock.
It was a long, deep, serious conversation. Because one of the things that we say with Trails Rock is no one on this board makes a penny from Trails Rock. And that changed when we did this.
Mm-hmm.
And how does it feel that the other folks on the board are volunteers?
Yeah.
And we try our best to really thank them for the work they do throughout the year. But that's what we take from giving the event back to the organization so that it has a home and has kind of a marquee event for Trails Rock.
Mm-hmm.
But we take $2,000 from that each summer. That's our summer money.
Yeah.
So there we have it.
So that's a breakdown.
I would be more than happy to discuss anything numbers-wise or have a conversation with anybody. Or if there's somebody that wants to come on and say, counterpoint, I think people should make way more, I'd be more than happy to have that conversation. Yeah, or, hey, you guys are knuckleheads for taking the $2,000. You shouldn't do it. I'll have that conversation too. So I think this is really fun stuff. I love looking at what other events are doing, and I love to still do the year one. As a new runner, I sit there and do the breakdown. I break down all these other races. Now, I know I don't know behind the scenes on all of them.
Right.
I feel like I've got a pretty good handle on what it costs to put on a trail race. So I like to do this and be like, oh, I know how much they're making. We really don't know, though. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But so we wanted to share this because Trails Rock, as a community thing, this is not just ours. We really believe it belongs to kind of everybody. As you can see, the numbers are – you can look it up anytime you want. But we'll share this. Every year we can do this. We can do a breakdown.
Yeah.
And, you and can like see Eric where your
said,
money goes.
Yeah, like Eric said, we're happy to have this conversation with anybody also.
So let's see. Who made more than us? Our emergency services made more than we did. I shouldn't say make. We paid them more.
Yeah.
Right? The permits were pretty close. Almost were permits. Our food, right? Those are really the big things. But we don't take a whole lot. But I love doing it.
Yeah.
I did it.
It's a passion project. Yeah. I mean, like I said at the
We're not doing it for
outset,
the $2,000.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, there's countless hours, even just the couple of days leading up to the race, not counting all of the other stuff that's going on behind the scenes throughout the year. You know what I mean? So
yeah. So we've got 2 weeks before our next episode. I really want to bring Ron Hirkins on to talk about adventure photography.
Ron.
He doesn't
Ron,
like talking about
Ron,
himself.
Ron.
So if you're listening, shoot him a thing online that says, you got to go on the podcast.
And if Ron won't, we're going to bring Elise on.
We'll bring Elise on. We'll get
His
her
wife.
Perspective.
We're going to get Elise's I actually would love to have Elise's perspective on
maybe,
all of it.
Maybe we'll bring them both.
Yeah.
So so that's my goal. We have a ton of topics that we really want to hit.
So please reach out to Ron, though, and Elise.
So send them notes.
But Elise, I think, would be more apt to.
And I'm going
to
reach out to him and say, come on the show. We're maybe going to run together this weekend. We'll see. So that's that. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. See you soon.
Talk to you
soon.
Get that coin.
Jesus.
Sounds here we go now.